Good morning. Welcome to St. John's Lutheran Church this morning as we gather on this Reformation Sunday. It's a day when we remember all of the things that Martin Luther and Johannes Bugenhagen and Philip Melanchthon, that they all did as we were beginning the Reformation, this time when we have looked at our understanding of the Bible and discovered that we are justified by grace through faith. It's a wonderful time. I'm so glad you're here. I like to see all the red, right? I found my red vest, but then I also have my Luther socks. They were a couple from a congregation I served went to the Lutherland in 2017, the 500th anniversary, and they brought me back socks that say, "Here I stand, I can do no other," in German. So they're kind of cool. Yeah, I like them. But I am so glad that you are all here. Yes, I want to make sure I say thank you once again to everyone who is there for our, you know, we're going to go through the Bible in 90 minutes. And I want to say, if you've ordered a book, the books are in. The cost to you will be $13 for the book and your part in the shipping. You can see me after worship if you wish. So if you've ordered a book, they are in. Next Sunday is, first of all, the day daylight savings time ends and we get our hour of sleep back. Yeah. But it's also All Saints Sunday, when we recall all of God's saints, those who have departed and have gone before us, those who surround us right now. And if you have a name that you would like to add to our All Saints altar cloth, the cloth itself is near the chapel up at this end of the hallway by where the offices are. There are permanent markers there ready. So if you have a name to add to that altar cloth, please do so that we may be surrounded by that great cloud of witnesses. Also coming soon are the Thanksgiving baskets. Starting next Sunday, the bags will be available. The shopping list, I believe, is printed in your bulletin even today. If you want to help with that Thanksgiving ministry, make sure that you come and pick up the bag, and then we can begin that whole process. Because of your generosity, we are able to provide Thanksgiving meals for many different families in our community, and I do want to say thank you already in advance for all of the assistance that you guys bring to that ministry. There are lots of other announcements in your bulletin, and I hope you have a chance to read through them. But we have gathered this morning that we might be in worship, that we might celebrate our Reformation Sunday. So let us continue our worship by joining together in our gathering song, One Way. Let us rise and sing together.
You are always there, every hour and every Jesus, you're the only one that I could live for. One way, Jesus, you're the only one that I could live for. One way, Jesus, you're the only one that I could live for.
And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, gracious Lord, we thank you that your Holy Spirit renews the church in every age. Pour out your Holy Spirit on your faithful people. Keep them steadfast in your word. Protect and comfort them in times of trial. Defend them against all enemies of the gospel. And bestow on the church your saving peace through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated.
The first lesson on this Reformation Sunday is from the 31st chapter of Jeremiah. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant that I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, a covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No longer shall they teach one another or say to each other, Know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity and remember their sin no more. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The second lesson comes from the third chapter of the book of Romans. Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be silenced and the whole world may be held accountable to God. For no human being will be justified in his sight by deeds prescribed by the law. For through the law comes the knowledge of sin. But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been disclosed and is attested by the law and the prophets, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction, since all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. They are now justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a sacrifice of atonement by his blood, effective through faith. He did this to show his righteousness, because in his divine forbearance he had passed over the sins previously committed. It was to prove at the present time that he himself is righteous, and that he justifies the one who has faith in Jesus. What then becomes of boasting? It is excluded. By the law? By that of works? No, but by the law of faith. For we hold that a person is justified by faith apart from works prescribed by the law. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please rise for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. John in the 8th chapter. Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, If you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. They answered him, We are descendants of Abraham and have never been slaves to anyone. What do you mean by saying you will be made free? Jesus answered them, Very truly I tell you, everyone who commits a sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not have a permanent place in the household. The son has a place there forever. So if the son makes you free, you will be free indeed. The Gospel of our Lord. The congregation may be seated, and no children. I'm sorry. There are some like, can you tell us the children's sermon anyway? This time I can, you know? This time I can, because it starts with just a piece of paper, all right? This paper, using this piece of paper, I'm going to tell you a story about someone who went off looking for the love of God, looking for how to find God. And they had no idea to begin with, and so they started out. Now, you'll have to use your imaginations, everyone. Here we are. Pretend that looks more like a boat than it does. All right. So they went on a boat and they went searching for the love of God. They went searching to see if they could discover God. And they stopped at port after port and met all kinds of wonderful people and had all kinds of adventures, but didn't feel like they had ever discovered really the love of God or seen God himself. And so they got into the last port and went and found a church building. And there they went and they discovered all kinds of people and sang all kinds of wonderful songs and all kinds of fabulous things. They then also went to different restaurants or homes or all over the place and had all sorts of people meet them, but they never felt that they had seen truly the love of God or met God. And so here we are. They decided to get on an airplane. And they were going to fly to the other side of the world, long flight, right? Met all kinds of people on the airplane, breathed all kinds of recycled air, you know, all the rest of those wonderful things. But on the flight and where they landed, they never felt as if they discovered the love of God or saw God himself. And so they decided they're going to have to try it a different way. So they... Sorry, Becky. They got into a rocket ship. And as the rocket ship went up, they looked down and saw all of creation, this amazing blue marble. They saw all of the stars. And even with all of that stuff, they never felt that they had truly seen the love of God or seen God himself. And then when they got back, what they realized is that through all of those different adventures, all of those different times, what they needed to see is that we discover God and the love of God in the cross. It is here that Jesus gave his life for us. It is here that Jesus shows us the depth of God's love. It is from here that we are inspired to love and serve our neighbor. So there's the children's sermon. From God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. You will know the truth. I will write it down on their hearts. When the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. In fact, the truth will set you free. Now, with all of this talk and all of these terms and all of this amazing good news, the questions that come to me as I'm reading our scripture for today is, what truth and what freedom? What is it that we are talking about? You see, the truth seems like a slippery term when we talk about it or listen to what is said about it these days, because we live in a time when we have fake news and half-truths, and all of that is bandied about by people of every persuasion, whether it's political or theological or economic or whatever. And then we go back and we remember that even Pontius Pilate, during the Passion story, asked Jesus, "What is truth?" when confronting Jesus right before he is condemned to be crucified. So today, when Jesus is very calmly speaking to the Jews who have believed in him, and he says to them, "You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." We ask, what truth? And so today, the truth that Jesus is talking about begins with our slavery to sin. Now, the people that Jesus is talking to say that we are descendants of Abraham and we have never been slaves. Well, the truth is their ancestors had been enslaved in Egypt, and then other ancestors had been taken into exile, and that was little better than slavery. So slavery is in their past history, but they personally may have never been slaves. Or have they? Because Jesus looks at all of them and he looks at all of us and he tells us that we are enslaved to our sin, our sinfulness, our selfish desires. We need redemption. We need to be made free. This is Jesus' aim for that original audience as well as for us. The truth is that we are slaves. But the truth is also that Jesus saves us, redeems us, and frees us. Because the truth that Jesus is talking about this morning is also the life and mission, the actions and the teachings that he has been doing since the beginning of his ministry. It's the way that Jesus lives and shows the love of God in his teaching, his healing, his feeding, caring for, listening to, and even reaching out to the outcast and alone, the hungry, lame, blind, and lost. From water to wine, to the blind man seeing, from teachings concerning the bread of life or living water. It's about being born from above again. It is the truth that Jesus is encouraging us to see and to know and to live. But also this truth is that his ministry, his actions, his teachings, and words all come from God. If you want to see what God is truly like, look to Jesus and learn the truth. But also in our gospel this morning, there are truths that have not yet been revealed to that original audience, but we have seen them. It is the truth of Jesus' suffering, death, and resurrection, which is for us that new covenant. It is a means for God's grace to be poured down upon all of us. This truth brings with it the forgiveness promised in Jeremiah today, where God will forgive our iniquity and remember our sin no more. This is a promise from God that is made true in Jesus Christ. This is the Son making us free, so that we will be free indeed. So now the question becomes, what is this freedom and what does it look like? To begin with, this freedom is a freedom from our sinfulness. By the life, the death, the resurrection of Jesus, by the love of God, our sins are forgiven, right? It is a freedom from guilt. It is a freedom from the expectation that we will or we must make up for our own mistakes, because we can't do that. No one can. And the freedom that Jesus grants to us washes us clean in the blood of the Lamb. We are freed from the prison of our selfishness. As followers of Jesus, we are granted then a new vision of the world that takes in more than just me and instead allows us to see our sisters and brothers, our neighbors and friends as human as we are. We can see them as helpers as well as those who are needing help. We can see them as those who will care for us as well as those for whom we will care. The freedom that Jesus grants is a freedom to see that we are better together. We are stronger and more capable to share what God has given together. But there's another side to this freedom that Jesus brings to us all, and that is that we are also freed for the sake of the world. Too often we limit our freedom to being freed from something. We are freed from sin, death, and the devil. But we are also freed for loving the world, loving our neighbors, our family, our friends, strangers, even our enemies, all of them. We are not bound to a limited number of ways or means to behave. Instead, we are called to love. And that loving is going to look different for each of us in every situation. We are free to love God and to show God that love by loving and caring for each other. This is what Jesus is encouraging all of us to begin. In Romans today, Paul is also showing us how any of this is possible. It's Jesus himself. It is the righteousness of God through Jesus Christ that saves us and allows us to love our neighbors as God calls us to. It is God's love in Jesus with nothing else. It's not Jesus and, rather it is the faith of Jesus that becomes our faith in Jesus. You see, it's not Jesus and my good behavior, or Jesus and my good looks. It's not Jesus and my keeping a list of all of the appropriate things that I've done. It's Jesus, whom God put forward as a sacrifice of atonement by his blood. It is truly Jesus who makes us free. It is the Son who makes us free. 506 years ago, Martin Luther proposed a disputation to get to the bottom of this truth and freedom for himself and for the people of the Wittenberg congregation that he served. You see, the church of his day was teaching a righteousness for all based on our behavior and our actions. It was based on our prayer and worship. It was based on a singular reliance on the church for wisdom, dispensation, guidance, and judgment. Now, for the church of that day, none of those things were either easy or cheap. Luther wanted to show forth the truth of God's love in Jesus Christ. Luther wanted to show forth the freedom that is ours in God's love. The freedom that is ours in the forgiveness that comes from Jesus and from no other source. Luther wanted to show that we are freed to love and care for our neighbors as Jesus has shown us how. But the church of his day turned against Luther because what he was proposing, what he was teaching, would take away their authority and their control. We who follow in the footsteps of Luther and the reformers remember them and their teachings this day, and we celebrate the gift that they gave us in understanding that Jesus sets us free. So as we celebrate the truth of God's love for us all in Jesus Christ, we live a freedom that is ours as a gift. God's dream for all creation is that we will show God how much we love God by loving and caring for each other. Our sinfulness destroyed that dream, yet that remains God's dream for us all. And in Jesus' love, and by the power of Jesus Christ our Lord, we can still live God's dream. It is the truth of God's faithfulness to us and love for us that sets us free from sin. So may we, each of us and all of us together, discover new ways to make that freedom that we receive reflect the truth of God's love to all the people we meet. May God's vision for the truth and love become our mission of hope for the world. Amen. Please rise. In celebration and remembrance of our baptisms, let us confess together our faith using the words we find in the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Trusting in the transformative power of God's loving Spirit, let us pray for the church, the world, and all in need. God, our parent, you call us your children and have made us siblings through your Son, Jesus. Heal the church's many divisions. Bring understanding and peace where there has been contention and strife. And unite us in one body through the love of Christ. Lord, in your mercy. God, our creator, your hands have made the height of the mountains, the depths of the sea, and the life that animates all creation. Bring relief to areas harmed by wildfires, floods, storms, and human carelessness. Renew the face of the earth. Lord, in your mercy. God, our ruler, the nations rage and the kingdoms shake, but your word stands fast forever. Let your justice and peace roll down like waters wherever there is strife, injustice, war, or religious conflict. We pray especially for the people of Ukraine, the people of Israel, the people of Gaza. Lord, in your mercy, God, our champion, you are our refuge and strength, a very present help in times of trouble. Draw near to all who suffer. Be their rest and comfort. We pray for all who suffer illness and injury or with accident and disease, but we also pray for these who are known to us, who need your wholeness and healing. We pray for Stephanie, Sharla, Darlene, Judith, Juanita, Judy, and Rhonda. Lord, in your mercy. God, our reformer, you make all things new. Free us from complacency, open us to unexpected ways, and kindle zeal in us for the future. We pray for young people affirming their baptism. With them, stir in us a desire for your wisdom. Lord, in your mercy, God, our Savior, you made yourself known in the lives of all who have died in the hope of your grace. We give thanks for the witness of reformers like Martin Luther and for all whose examples have brought us closer to you. Lord, in your mercy. Amen. Gracious God, into your hands we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your unending love and amazing grace through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us, pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. And now may the Lord grant that we see what needs to be seen and do what needs to be done. May the Lord bless and protect you all. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord look upon you all with favor and give you peace. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And now please stay warm, stay dry, stay safe this week as you go into the world with hope.
To make God's vision our mission.
That's what we get to do.
You've been listening to St. John's Lutheran Church, 120 West Water Street, Sydney, Ohio. May God's glory abide with us today. May the love of God be increased within us and extended towards our fellow worshipers. Welcome, children of God. We invite you to return and worship with us again.
Elected, you ask who this may be.